The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This episode of Wrestling Night in Canada is dedicated to the memory of Maggie Miller.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
It's not even Halloween yet, and there's snow on the ground. What is this nonsense? This
fucking bullshit.
Yeah. I took a week of holidays from work, and halfway through, we got snow. What is this? What is this horse shit? It is Sunday, October 29th, as we're speaking.
Right.
Halloween is 2 days away. We don't even get kids as it is on my street. Now we're going to get even less.
Even less.
Yeah. Like, with all the icy, like, and it's like, I don't know if this is the same in all cities, but, like, here, the first snowfall is always that wet slushy stuff, and then it snows on top of that, so it's just like dangerous for everyone.
Yeah, you know? The last few days at work loading gear has been a bitch.
Yeah, and the city doesn't clear off the sidewalks right away, so it's just all this crunchy, slippery, bumpy mess.
No, it's us doing it while we're loading gear.
Yeah,
the gear.
Yes, no wonder why I have bad knees.
Right?
Yeah. I've often said I don't mind the snow, like come Christmas time and all that. I don't understand the concept of a green Christmas. Like, it's wintertime. I need snow, but hold off at least till November 1st.
Yeah.
Let the kids do the Halloweening. I don't want to be stumbling home after a Halloween party in the snow and all that.
And eating shit.
You know, yeah.
I don't want these kids who put the effort into their costumes to be whatever they're being plus winter jacket.
Right. Right. God, that would be so irritating.
Oh, the amount of times when I was a kid when I was a Power Ranger with a winter jacket or Stone Cold Steve Austin with a winter jacket.
But Mom, come on, Red Ranger.
Cowboy with a winter jacket.
Lone Ranger never wore a winter jacket, Mom. Yeah. Come on.
So my jacket's not even the same color as the Power Ranger I am.
Yeah, you're saying you don't get a lot of kids?
Not in the in the years that I've lived at this house since 2019. Well, I guess 2020 excluded.
Right.
Like, even like 2019, I don't remember getting a whole lot. And even in last year, barely anything. I didn't hear any kids.
Wow. And
it's gotten to the point now where people aren't even saying trick or treat. They're just ringing doorbells. So it's like,
That's not right.
So it's, I don't know. I guess the magic of Halloween from when I was a kid and when you were a kid, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
It's just going away. It's like the commercialism of it is taking over. And I don't know.
It just seems like to end so quickly. Like the kids are starting a little bit earlier and then ending. Like, I remember when I was a kid, it was 10 o'clock and we were still out there.
Yep.
You know.
Well, with so many shitty people out there nowadays, it's like parents want their kids to be in by like 8 o'clock.
That's true too. That's too true. I saw this picture, like it was a picture of a note that someone put on, and I hope this was a rib or something, but it was a note, you know, from the homeowners to the trick-or-treaters saying, you know, dear satanic socialists, we do not acknowledge Halloween. We don't believe in giving out free stuff. Get a job. This is America. It's like, wow.
America.
Imagine being that person and having like no soul at all.
The church that I used to go to as a kid had Halloween functions.
Yeah.
So
come on.
To just like put it in your own head that it has something to do with Satanism and that it's like an abomination of God, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, it's a time to have fun.
Yeah.
Both churches I go to now still do that. Halloween functions.
Like when I was a kid, I remember like when I was in Sunday school back in the day, I remember the pastor like gathering up all the Sunday school children, and the story's not going where you think it is, so just cutting you off right there. Our parents were there.
There we are.
Okay. He was like talking to us one by one, asking us what we're gonna be for Halloween. And I was just like, yeah, but I guess this is a Protestant church, though. I don't know about. I can't say the same thing about Catholics.
Yeah, so. Some of them are a little psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, I'll never forget that. It's like, just imagine being that person, like, where fun really isn't on your agenda, like, ever.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily participate in dressing up, but I appreciate those who do, mm-hmm. and I can see the fun, and it's just not personally for me. But I like going out and seeing everyone's costumes and, like...
Oh, for sure.
Some of them, like, the effort that they put into it, mm-hmm. like... Yeah, but... And for someone to just be an asshole about that, and just to like, I hate when people use that as like their religion as an excuse to hate on things.
Mm-hmm. No, sucks for sure, for sure. You mentioned costumes and seeing them and all that. This weekend, as we speak, was the Manitoba Comic Con.
Yep.
And wow, just walking through, you know, going through all the booths and all that, seeing everyone's costumes and all that. It's like, wow, and like you get. People coming up to other people with their phones. Oh, can I get a picture of you in your costume and all that? So like these geeky little kids are a rock star for a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's heartwarming. It's heartwarming to see that. Yeah. It was the Manitoba Comic Con this weekend. We went yesterday, which that, you know, Saturday, which that works best for our schedules and all
right,
that.
Right.
Big mistake, okay? Yeah,
a little too busy or what?
Yeah, it was busy. The costume that I had, you know, had a hat that I had to take off halfway through. And it's just, when you get that much humanity and not much elbow space and all that, it's just, it gets a little rough, but...
But you got to meet R2-D2.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. I had my picture taken. Every year, this guy has his, you know, this replica R2-D2, and... I always get my picture with him every year because that's my little buddy and all mm-hmm. that. And yeah, we had an absolutely fantastic time, except people, after the first snowfall, don't seem to know how to park.
No, they don't.
No.
Because I saw, as we were trying to find a parking spot, I saw so many people double parked,
yep.
people on the line. This one car was like triple parked. You couldn't, yeah. you know, I was, oh.
Hey, in the wintertime, we make our own lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Create
yeah,
a lane.
But that's, yeah. But it's such a busy, it's such a busy time and a busy moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't be doing that. You're screwing other people.
Oh, I know.
It's just, but.
By now, everyone should know the etiquette of winter driving, but.
Yeah.
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 But whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
yeah. We had a fantastic time. It's a family thing. We're the three of us.
Right.
I wanted to go, but I didn't want to pay $50.
It's a bit steep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's cheaper if you buy in advance, and mm-hmm. I think Saturdays they jack up the price and all that. But this time when like I had a small coronary one. You know, that's $150 I shelled out just to get into the fucking building.
Yeah, and then you got to pay to meet whoever you want to meet on top of that mm-hmm. to get a photo with them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, which that's brutal. I skipped. Okay, there's people, you know, there's Ted Raimi. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have met him, but I'm
Robert
not.
Robert Patrick was there too.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
These are all everyone in Autograph Alley,
mm-hmm.
I would love to sit down in a bar. And have a beer with.
Yeah.
But I'm not paying for them. Fortunately, the celebrity that I, and quote unquote, that I wanted to meet, that I was excited for, and I didn't have to pay for it, was Dan Perrant, mm-hmm. who is a former alum. We had him on Radioactive Metal. He's a artist for the Archie comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
We had him on years ago now. Because he did the artwork for the Archie Meets Kiss.
Oh, really?
So, okay. Yeah, I was... The last time he was in town, I went and... At the same con, I went and saw hi and introduced myself and all that. Came back, saw him again, reintroduced myself. He actually remembered. Because how often, you know, is a person in his field gets an interview request from a heavy metal radio
yeah.
show... We're probably the only one, mm-hmm. you know, like... And,
he's sitting there like, why?
Oh, yeah, you're that metal guy that... It's really
You're that Satanist guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's you.
Well, yeah. As I was approaching the booth, okay, I'm thinking to myself, okay, be cool. Don't mark out.
You marked out.
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You fucking marked.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't cost anything to meet him, but he had a lot of cool prints mm-hmm. of his artwork and all that, so I bought a bunch of them, and he signed them for nothing. And yeah, so that was kind of my highlight of the Manitoba Comic Con. There were no wrestlers this year at all.
That's surprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seeing there was no Virgil sitting there all afternoon to absolutely nobody. You know, and I remember, okay, running into Virgil in the bathroom.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, he was taking a break from his non-existent line, and we were walking back to his booth, and the whole time, he's trying to sell me shit and all that. It's like, dude, no.
Sounds like Virgil, yeah.
I'm not interested in buying your gimmicks, you know, like at this. Like, we're coming back from the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You're off the fucking clock.
Yeah.
You know, when we, if I end up at your booth, then you sell me your shit.
I mean, right? Yeah, like the guy's just trying to make a dollar, but still.
Well, yeah, I totally get that, but yeah, there's a time and a place, mm-hmm. and like that's
the bathroom
is not the time.
Buddy, hey, you want to buy an 8x10? I'm taking a shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh wait.
Yeah. So
finish your poop.
Yeah. So had a really good time. We'll go next year. We'll just because it's an annual thing.
If prices don't jump.
Yeah, we'll just do things differently.
Yeah.
Buy in advance, maybe go Sunday instead of Saturday and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff.
If you're not paying for any autographs, then it doesn't really matter what day you go.
Yeah.
On.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we do get on with the grunt here, because I know we got a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. At the top of the hop, you heard the name Maggie Miller now. You guys know who this person is, but for all of our listeners, that name doesn't, you know, no, it's not a, you know,
wrestling
valet or a AWA wrestler from the territory days or anything. That was my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she recently left us since we last spoke, and I thought maybe we would take a minute out, everyone listening, you know, keep the name Maggie in mm-hmm. mind over the next couple days. We would really appreciate it. She wasn't a huge wrestling fan,
but she would watch it with you.
She, yeah. Right. What she, like the old AWA, even before my time with the AWA,
mm-hmm.
when she was growing up here in this area, she would watch it. And, I would tease her, okay, like today, you know, like reminding her that Vern Gagne is not the AWA world champion anymore or something, you know, I just find little digs and all that. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah. What she would do is when my wife and I are watching Dynamite, she wouldn't get up and leave.
Right.
You know, because she'll watch it with us. She just... retaining the storyline and all that, she wasn't really worried about that.
No, but I do remember you telling me a couple times that you really hated MJF.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So that, you know, he's doing his job.
He was doing a job, yeah. Yeah, when just, you know, like if you're irritating a non-fan.
Yeah.
You know.
You're doing your job.
Yeah, then you're doing just fine.
Yeah, 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 so. Yeah,
he's our scumbag.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're a non-fan, I guess you don't know like the difference between kayfabe and not. So,
right.
I mean, I guess it's easier for you to immerse yourself into it.
But... Right, right. And she comes even more than me. Mm-hmm. She comes from that era where everyone suspended the disbelief.
Yeah.
You know, like because when I discovered pro wrestling, even though it was in the territory days, I still knew that it was quote unquote fake.
Right.
But I treated it like it wasn't. I swear, the territory days before my time, people not just suspended disbelief, but some people really believed it.
Yeah, I know. It's,
you know, there are so many stories from the heels would tell you the tires being slashed, getting shot at, shit being thrown at them, attacked in bars.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Wow. Imagine that. Imagine all you want to do is just go out and have a couple beers with your buddy, and there's some good old boy that, you know, wants to try to make a name for himself to whoever that would be, you know, and pick a fight with someone just because he's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's real heat.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
It, part of me says, that's fucking crazy, man. But another part says, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like just investing yourself in a story in a movie, but going kind of beyond that
right.
in a lot of aspects.
Right, right. Like, you're familiar with the Ghostbusters movie, the first one, obviously.
Yeah,
I can't remember the actor's name, but the environmentalist
okay.
that tried to shut them down. Okay.
Right.
And he also played the scumbag reporter in Die Hard.
Okay.
Okay. That actor, okay, he was scared for his life. Like, there are people.
Like
that,
Tony Khan?
That, yeah.
I've never been more afraid of a wrestling
More afraid for
event.
My life, yeah.
Yeah.
God, give me a break, buddy. Yeah, he had death threats. He, you know, he was afraid of going out in public for a while because he was the guy that tried to shut down the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, or like Trevor and Corey from the Trailer Park Boys, people were coming up to them in real life and like trying to rip their shirts off and like trying to get them to give them smokes and stuff. And that's the reason why they quit the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
holy
I mean, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People are trying to treat them like.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of them, they were at Comic-Con too, weren't they?
Yeah. They were. Yeah. Yeah.
I gave one episode of Trailer Park Boys a shot and I was done.
Just not for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's the same thing like with pro wrestling. Who? Sonya Deville?
Yeah.
When she went through that as well with crazy fans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she almost got kidnapped.
Oh, fucking you speaking know? Of almost got kidnapped, Mia Yim's house got broken into yesterday.
Almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
Fucking
an Uber Eats driver. Tried to enter her home.
Was he like a fan and he knew who she was? Or
presumably.
It was just a random...
Well, she didn't really go into detail. She just said someone or an Uber Eats driver tried to get into my home and that she thanks Shayna Baszler for the advice of keeping certain items in all rooms at all times.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Because Keith Lee wasn't home.
Yeah, imagine if he was, though, that guy wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. All I can say is that I hope that guy got fired at the very least.
Would have been legit spirit bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be scary.
Yeah.
It can be scary. Adrian King from the first Friday the 13th, who played Alice.
Yeah.
She had a psycho fan, you know.
Yeah.
Stalking her and all that, and she had a gun to her head from this guy at one point, and
then look at like, people like John Lennon or Dimebag Darrell, like
yeah,
psycho
yeah.
fans that ended up actually taking their lives.
The young lady from My Sister Sam,
yep,
as well years ago, like that's some absolutely crazy stuff. Mm. I was even joking around, you know, with Radioactive Metal saying, "Where's my crazy stalker fan? How come you know that you know?" And my wife was like, "Shut up! Don't even fucking say that,
mm-hmm.
because then you're gonna put some crazy fan is gonna fixate on you, and then I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. Then I'm, you know." And it's like, okay, I don't see that. I just do an internet radio show, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Like, it's kind of scary. Went off the rails. Oh, sorry.
There have been people who have come up to me at shows, local shows, and been like, "Oh, you're that guy who does bands albums," and I'm like, "Yeah." Like, oh, and then they try to ask me like a few questions about audio engineering, and I'll entertain them for a little bit,
right?
But then they'll be like, "Oh, how much do you charge?" And I tell them, and they're like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. I'm gonna go get a beer now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, cool, man.
I've gotten the whole, "Can you get me on the bus?"
Yeah.
And all that. I'm like, no, what?
Fuck,
I'm
we,
lucky
had that,
that I'm,
we had that you know. Working Cooper Allen's country dude on Monday. We had fans after, "Can you guys get us on?" No.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Where is he? He's on there already.
Hey, man,
he's gone.
I had one. Yeah, I had one person try to follow me backstage one time. I was just like, "Sorry, bud. I was invited. You weren't."
Yeah.
Fuck off.
It's like, no offense, but we're not friends. So
that's right.
I just met you.
If you were a buddy, sure.
Yeah, sure. Like, if you know the band and like they invited you personally, like, like I'm privileged enough to be able to go backstage at the Park Theater. So yeah.
And you don't want to abuse it.
No, it's because I know half the people back there. So
And you don't.
It's like,
know,
Matt,
like,
come here.
I can't invite my friends on to some band's bus and all that because all of a sudden.
Oh, like, I never go on the bus.
Yeah.
Unless, like, the band invited me personally.
Right.
Like, I'm not expecting Corey to be like, hey, yo, go and do that. Like, yeah. If I walked backstage at the park and Corey saw me, he'd be like, hey, what's going on?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, but, like, if you come to my show tomorrow, I'll be like, yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, wrestling.
But wrestling. Yeah. There's this thing
it's
called
still
called,
a thing.
Called
what? That wrestling is still.
It hasn't died off completely just yet.
Nope.
But okay. So, and a lot of shit kind of went down
recently.
Last couple weeks since we last spoke. I'm just gonna kind of start it off with since it's that time of year, it's the festive spooky season, and the NWA did their part with their Samhain pay-per-view yesterday.
Is that how you pronounce it? Okay.
Now, first and foremost, horns up to whoever at the NWA, and I'm sure maybe even Billy Pumpkins himself already knew this.
Unless he wanted to call it NWA Pumpkins.
Oh, that would work. that would kind of work. But yeah, they got it right.
Okay.
You know, Mrs. Snoy, she was a hardcore Wiccan for the longest time, and she still kind of dabbles and still kind of believes.
Oh, I have many friends who are who practice that, so.
And they know the proper pronunciation of it is Samhain. Now it looks like Samhain. But
Samhain.
Yeah. So when they announced it like months ago that, you know, NWA Samhain, you know, the weekend of Halloween, it's like, holy shit. Well, right on. Good on them. Good on them. It was in Cleveland.
Okay.
The venue was called the Temple Live. Okay. It is this absolutely gorgeous theater where a lot of, you know, the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra does a lot of their shows and all that. Apparently this building is like 100 years old. Okay. A lot of history in this. It's absolutely gorgeous. It seats about 2,000.
Okay.
And just from what I've seen, you know, when the cameras and all that, it looked pretty full. So I wouldn't be surprised outside of, you know, collaborations with AEW, like at Madison Square Garden or whatever. This looks like the live gate, okay, the live attendance. It looks like this was probably their biggest show since the Crockett days.
Really?
Yeah. It was
impressive.
Really cool. The show is fantastic for the most part. You know, there's always going to be a few duds. They really got into the spirit of Halloween, hosted by Jim Mitchell. I swear the guy was half in the bag. You know, the stage was nicely decorated. A lot of the wrestlers came out in costumes.
Wouldn't be old school wrestling if someone wasn't at least a little bit intoxicated.
At least a little bit.
Not that I condone wrestling while intoxicated, but hosting's a different thing.
Yeah.
The Sandman.
Yeah. And there are a number of wrestlers that have, you know, stepped into the ring half in the bag, and that's scary.
Oh, I think
not just for the person drinking, but the opponent.
Oh, especially for the opponent.
Yeah. You know, you're putting that person's life in your hands, or at least, you know, physical injury.
I wouldn't want a crazy Sandman drunk running at me with a stick.
Oh, no, I don't think anyone would. I wouldn't want a sober Sandman running at me with a stick.
That's right.
But one of the wrestling...
Especially like fucking 15 years ago.
Yeah, one of the wrestling YouTube sites that I watch, I can't remember whether it was WrestleTalk or Cultaholic, but they did a countdown list of 10 times wrestlers have been intoxicated in the ring. And I'm just like, there's been 10 times at least. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's just what you know of.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a thing called the territories. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I can just imagine. I can just imagine.
Yeah.
The main event. Okay. EC3 was defending the NWA world title against Tom Latimer. Mm-hmm. Of course, Camille, Latimer's real-life wife.
Latimer or Lawler?
Latimer, Tom.
Tom Latimer.
Tom okay. Latimer, yeah.
I just thought Tom Lawler.
Oh, no, no.
No.
since it was Halloween, she came out to the ring dressed like an old white dress that Elizabeth would have worn. Mm-hmm. Looked very close. Latimer had Randy Savage trunks on with the three stars in the front.
But did he do it as good as Matt Cardona?
I have no idea.
Remember the wedding, the GCW wedding ceremony with Cardona and Chelsea Green? And Cardona had like the full Macho Man suit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. This was kind of an idea. Different idea. You know, he had like the Macho Man trunks on.
Oh, he made the gear, the gear made.
With
okay.
the three stars in the front. And instead of Macho Man on the back, it said Latimer and all that. And it looked, it's like, yeah, like, wow. And it was really effective. It was a fantastic match. It ended with Cardona, once again, is
one of the Macho Man. You're like Wu-Tang playing Macho Man shirt.
Yeah. My cream shirt. Yeah.
Once again, Cardona showing why he's one of the best things in pro wrestling right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting in there. He made his first appearance. It was a loser leave and a loser leave town leave and NWA match. The Spectaculars had split.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's an old name.
Rolando Freed, like the manager of the Spectaculars, he was, although he's one of the brothers of one of them, he was the special guest referee. And you're thinking, okay, there's going to be some sort of chicanery, right? Mm-hmm. But no, he called it right down the middle. Brady Pierce ended up getting pinned when Cardona interfered. Okay. Took everyone out with a chair. Took the quote-unquote ref's hand. 1, 2, 3. And apparently that counted because the ref made three.
Even without the referee calling for the bell?
Like, the bell or
isn't that supposed to be a thing where the referee has to signal for the bell?
You would think so, yeah. But
what kind of macho bullshit is that?
I remember wrestling matches where the referee was about to call for the bell, who saw someone tapping out, and then someone stopped the referee from calling for the bell. And then the timekeeper's just like, oh, I don't know. What's going on, Earl? Earl, what are you trying to tell me?
And Hunter's just like, no!
Cardona, he topped it off nicely by saying, and the winner is whoever that guy is.
Yeah.
It's like he just doesn't know or care. He's just there to get on the mic and call out Billy Pumpkins and all that.
Of course.
And all that. So, once again, as a great card as it was, Cardona steals the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just like every time he goes to GCW and he shows up all those marks there, you know, like when the real wrestler shows up. I tried to do it with a straight face.
Yeah, we know.
So NWA Samoan, horns up.
Nice.
It's still available on Fight. I didn't give away too much. It's well recommended.
Mm-hmm. While we're on the subject of NWA, do you think we should talk about their TV deal?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we should.
Of course.
Yeah.
This has the potential to be huge.
Yeah.
They're the CW? Apparently got a deal with the CW.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, for any younger fans in the audience, the CW was the network that SmackDown was initially on.
Right.
Well, it was on UPN, but I think UPN became the CW at some point. Or, I don't know, it's all American. There's so many different ones. But, I do know that SmackDown did used to be on the CW, like, a long time ago. So, and if a network like that's going to pick up the NWA, that could be pretty big.
It could, because this is in every household.
Yes, in America.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like the US shows that been on CW.
Much like the USA Network to WWE and TBS to AEW.
Yeah.
It's in every household.
It's so. for sure. Like, I believe, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was on mm-hmm. the CW. Yep. Most recently, Riverdale.
Yep.
I fucking loved that show. It was amazing.
Well, I've only ever watched that show on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And Buffy was on YTV up right. here for our American listeners.
Yes, yes. Youth television.
Yeah. As my dad used to call it, Channel 37, because that's it used to be 24. It was 24, then 37, then 47. Now I don't fucking know what it is. It's like a 478 or whatever.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Channel too goddamn many.
But the bottom line, NWA is going to have quite the reach, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it's a different kind of product too. It's like not in the big arenas, and it doesn't have the pageantry that AEW and like Monday Night Raw would have, like, or SmackDown, I guess.
It's wrestling, not sports entertainment.
Yeah, but or even it's even less flashy than Impact. I'd say. Like, do people, like, last time I watched NWA when Power was on YouTube, which is, I guess.
They still are for now.
Yeah, for now. But, like, pre-pandemic, when Power was on YouTube, I noticed it was just, like, people didn't even have entrance music. They would just come out to the ring.
Yeah.
They'd be introduced. Like, yeah.
Because Pumpkins was trying to totally recreate the old studio wrestling.
Yeah, and he succeeded.
And it was like, it still is my favorite wrestling show.
The old interview stage.
My favorite part of it so far, I think, was when Eli Drake was really fucking hammed.
Oh, yeah. That's everyone's favorite. Like, I have that moment saved as a video on my phone. Shoes of a champion.
Did I say shoes of a champion?
Yeah, this jacket right here, shoes of a champion. Wait, did I say shoes of a champion? Yeah.
He's just so fucking hammered.
Oh, yeah, legit. He was
speaking of him again, when SmackDown went off the air the other day, he said, dummy, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
To, like, one of the Usos. I guess the one who's an asshole.
Jimmy.
That one.
Yep.
One of the things I wanted to say about Samhain is the Headbangers came back.
Really?
Okay. As Mosh, Thrasher, with the kilts and all that. And I'm like, how are they able to do this?
I guess WWE must have let the copyright lapse.
Or they just don't care, yeah.
Well, I don't think they're going to be selling any Headbangers merch in 2023.
No.
Because the Headbangers haven't been a team in WWE since, what, 2000?
It's been a long time. Unless they happen
to have, like, a closet at their house full of fucking shirts.
Right, but, like, they haven't made a Headbanger shirt probably since 1998.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Like, it's been a long time.
Come on, Pro Wrestling Tees, let's go. Yeah, I'll buy one.
Last time I knew, like, Mosh was still was Chaz for a little while before he got released.
Yeah.
And, like, grew his hair out. Didn't,
oh, yeah,
did
he
not,
was Chaz.
Yeah, didn't look like the same guy. And Beaver Cleavage, lest we forget. the less we say about that, the better.
The better, yeah.
But, and, like, I remember WWE's website, like, this is way before the WWE Network, so they had to do everything on their website like this. They did a Where Are They Now thing. And Thrasher was, like, the general manager of, like, a bunch of Domino's Pizza's locations. So... I don't know if he's still doing that.
He probably made more money off of that than working in WWF.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things, and this came rushing back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first time I saw the Headbangers with the skirts and the little dance and all that, I'm like, these aren't metal fans. Like, what's going on here? And then Bruce Pritchard. He went on his show and he was talking about creating the Headbangers. He had a niece or something, and he was flipping through his niece's metal magazine. She was a metalhead. Just found a picture of Marilyn Manson in a skirt.
Okay.
And all that. So automatically, this is what all metalheads do. We all look like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah,
this...
we all have the black eyeliner and
Like,
we're all emo, you know?
Yeah, we're all
we all shave our heads.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, you've never heard of Iron Maiden or Judas Priest or anything like that. Like,
who?
And it's like, that really gnawed at me back then, thinking like, okay, this is what you actually think. That was the extent of your research.
Well, it's literally no different than any research they put into like any cultural stereotype. Thing, yeah. Like,
Vince is still wondering how Guerrero got from his lawn mower to his ring. You know,
yeah.
It's still wondering how that happened.
Now you see, and he's still, yeah, and he's still wondering like. We'll say like anything to do with like any Japanese wrestlers, where their gimmick is, oh, they're Japanese.
Yeah, that's it. That's yeah. it.
Pro Wrestling Tees does have headbanger shirts.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, then I guess WWE doesn't own that anymore.
Guess not.
So, no. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good on them. At least they're not gonna.
Well, I mean, why waste money on a trademark that you're not gonna make money back on? You know.
Right. Like, yeah. Right. And hopefully with the CW deal. Good for the headbangers if they're mm-hmm. able to take what was given to them back mm-hmm. then and do something with it.
Was it the same entrance theme at least?
That was just stock generic music. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Generic song 4.
Yeah, like I imagine Jim Johnson probably just pulled that, like probably recorded that in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
like the Hardy Boys theme is generic song 2.
Well, that's the Hardy Boys theme is public domain.
Yeah.
Like, anybody can use it. That's how they're able to use it in AEW.
Like, yeah. Remember how, like, Spike TV, that was the Spike TV theme for a while, was the Hardy's theme?
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
No.
I never used to watch Spike TV. I guess I did for a little while when TNA was on there, but...
That's where Bar Rescue started. Man, we're fucking old.
Bar Rescue, shit.
Started on Spike TV.
Wow. Okay, well, anyway.
That's I watch on TV now.
As the host of a music podcast, I love public domain music.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I know. No cease and desists for those.
That's right.
Just
that's
the every right. once in a while slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've...
No
I'm,
exodus.
I'm very, yes, I've been very good over the years in terms of that, knowing who's doesn't want their shit played and... the record labels that are, please play this, please play this.
Or it's like YouTube with all their rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fortunately, it's not as bad with what I do. Still kind of keeping in, oh no, there's still something that I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
And talking about the NWA and how, you know, it's presented more of as a sport and all that. That kind of made me think. Future Endeavor, sorry. They own the WWF.
Yes.
And UFC as well. Like, they're now
under
sister companies.
Yes, but they're under a new umbrella company name called TKO Media Group, I think.
Yeah, because Endeavor changed their name.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they okay. Futured Endeavor themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which actually TKO makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since Ultimate Fighting, okay, MMA is such a big thing to them, I'm just asking you guys to speculate, do you think maybe in the future, and it might take a while before this kind of kicks in, but they might want the WWF to kind of veer more into presenting it more sport and less sports entertainment?
Possibly, but at the same time, WWE is already such a world-renowned brand and like a mm-hmm. recognizable product that right. I think it would be too big of a risk to change it so drastically.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Vince even said in an interview yesterday, he said Saudi Arabia is our home now.
So really?
He was at that. Well, of course, the Saudis this weekend.
Yeah, he was at the boxing match with Undertaker. Yeah, I saw that. But
and he made a comment saying Saudi Arabia is part of our home now.
Part of our home? Well, I mean, they still have like 5 more years left on that deal with them. So.
And they're making bank.
Oh, I know. But at least the shows there now aren't just like glorified house shows. But
yeah,
I don't know. As far as like right now, WWE is at a very popular level. Like, you wouldn't think looking at the ratings, but arenas are selling out again. Mm-hmm. Like, no more of this half-full hard cam bullshit that, that they were doing, like, a couple years ago. But, yeah, so, like, as long as it continues to make money, I don't think they will have a reason to change it. So, right now I'm going to say no, but in the future, who knows?
Who knows? Because, like, when they announced it, it's like, oh, work, you know, sort of working with UFC, you know there's going to be some guy in a boardroom going, look, we can't handle this fake shit anymore. We have to start, you know, presenting it more like us.
Right, but that's, you also have to take into consideration that having both for different people is is beneficial. Because if you try to make, if you try to make WWE too real, you might lose some fans. Because they'll say, oh, no, it's boring now. If you try to make UFC too much, to bring entertainment into UFC, UFC fans aren't going to like that.
Don't do that. No, that's ringing the death bell.
That's fake shit.
There, it's definitely it's definitely going to be interesting a year from now what the WWF is going to look like.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a whole lot of drastic changes, to be honest. I think everything's going to just be keep going the way it is. For now, unless, like, either side starts to lose a shit ton of money. Mm-hmm. But speaking of that, I can see WWE gradually getting more and more popular because Triple H now has, like, 99% creative control over the product because Endeavor told Vince to get the fuck out. But I have never been more happy.
Yes.
Because there's nothing he can do about it. Like, he's still executive vice president of WWE, but he doesn't own the company anymore.
And he has
can't do shit.
He's out of creative.
Thank God.
Vince has a boss who tells him what to do. Ari Emanuel, the CEO of Endeavor or TKO, just told him, like, no, Paul is in charge of creative. This is your job. Mm-hmm. You go over here.
Yeah. He's still an important guy behind the scenes in the business world and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. He's great at making like TV deal negotiations. Yeah. That's what Vince is supposed to be doing, not getting involved in the on-screen product.
Where's Mantar?
And I thought, like, when I heard that, I was just like, yes, thank you. Because like so many people were like negatively speculating that when this deal went through, Ari Emanuel was going to be like, was going to give Vince creative control back that he wanted before he was forced to retire last year.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Ari Emanuel's not an idiot.
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah.
It's like, Vince, you got $9 billion, be happy.
Like, he's got Vince there to make business deals. Mm-hmm. That's probably the only good thing Vince is good at, but...
Yeah, like, Vince behind the scenes is good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not everything behind the scenes.
Not everything.
Yeah. as we know. Yeah. But... I'm happy, like, with Triple H, like, when Triple H was in charge of creative, when Vince was completely out of the company, stock started to rise, ratings started to rise, attendance started to rise. So I think we're going to see more of that with Triple H in charge of the on-screen product.
Right.
And going forward.
And with them.
And knowing that there's no possibility that Vince can get back in there. Mm-hmm. So.
And when TKO told Vince to take his ball and go home. Okay, that was one of the things that made me think maybe they might be gradually looking to make this sport again as opposed to sports entertainment. The first step is getting rid of Vince.
True.
So that's kind of made me, that was one of the things that made me think that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they can make Raw and SmackDown more like 2017, 2018 NXT. Mm-hmm. I would like that, but I mean, part of that was like the environment of being in the small space.
Yes,
But if they can make the storylines that amount of quality and the match, well, the pay-per-view matches, and even some matches on Raw and SmackDown are just that level of quality already.
Mm-hmm. You just like Ricochet Shinsuke the other week, that Falls Count Anywhere match?
Yep.
Fuck, that was good.
That was good. Or Gunter, who did Gunter face the other
Bronson
day?
Reed?
Yes, that was good. That was good shit.
Big meaty men slapping meat.
Yeah. Hey, it was good. Yeah. It was an intercontinental. It was a 20-minute intercontinental championship match on TV.
No shit.
I'm
really
good. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're already doing something right.
Right on. Yeah. Right on.
We're not going to see a WWE championship match on TV, though. Thanks, Roman.
Yeah. Roman doing every story, like everyone doing storylines with Brock. Oh, we're not going to be like Brock. We're going to stay. Where yet?
Yeah, he seems to be doing that.
Well, I mean, eventually they got to get the title off of him,
mm-hmm.
right? Like he's already at like almost 12,000 days or 12,000.
It feels
1,200.
Like it fucking feels like 12,000 days.
But I also noticed, like, kind of a little asterisk here, which I was hoping for. They do seem to be referring to Roman's belt just as the WWE Championship again. Like, on marquees, they're still calling it the Undisputed Universal WWE Championship.
The Uwoo Championship.
Yeah, but LA Knight was calling it the WWE Championship. The commentators were calling it the WWE Championship. So I'm just like, I think they're just gradually forcing out the Universal and Undisputed parts of that name. Which
I hope so.
Should be.
Like, yeah.
Don't get rid of the WWE Championship.
No.
Like, there's 60 years of... Yeah, so that would mean like... If they did get rid of it, that would mean this 60-year-old company would have two world titles where the oldest one would be only dating back to 2016.
Yeah.
when the Universal title was introduced. So, yeah, you got one with like 6 months of lineage and the other one with 7 years.
Yeah. What do you want? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a little late with this.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Aldis, though, is... part of SmackDown.
He's the general manager of SmackDown.
General manager.
Yeah.
And SmackDown's on Friday.
Yeah.
I might actually have to start watching wrestling on a Friday night.
Okay.
If there's no concerts.
Yeah. Like if
you can record it. Yeah. Record it and watch it on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Fast forward through all the ads, you can get through it in an hour.
Watch the morning cartoons and then watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
There you go. Just like shit, when I was a teenager, WWF was Saturday morning.
Yep.
You know, right before baseball practice, which I was always late because my coach, in his infinite wisdom, would book our practices just as Superstars ended.
Oh.
And I still needed that 10 minutes
to get from
my place to the Ball Diamond. And he, oh man, that pissed my coach off so much.
Where were you? Macho Man elbow drop Jerry Lawler.
He would make me, like, every time I was late, he would make me do a lap around the
course.
Or around.
You just get out of the
diamond.
Show up and you're like, I'm going.
That's right. It's like, yeah, but coach, why are you scheduling this right after wrestling?
Yeah.
Come on.
Have practice start at 1:10, not 1.
Yeah, that's right.
I was the same way when I was a little kid, and I was in Cub Scouts, and like Cub Scouts ended at 7:30. I'm just like, but that's when Power Rangers starts.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. You telling me I'm gonna miss the first 10 minutes of Power Rangers?
Are
you insane?
Wrong. Yeah. That's just wrong.
I am an 8-year-old child, and I will not stand for this.
I will throw dirt at you. Pocket sand.
But, Nick Aldis.
Yes. Yeah. Which, the guy's great on the mic.
Oh, fantastic on the mic.
And if they ever, because Adam Pearce.
Yeah.
Another former NWA world title holder, he's the head honcho on Raw.
Yes.
Yep.
So if they ever build up Raw versus SmackDown.
Well,
they're already doing that.
Oh.
It seems like they're doing that for
Survivor Series,
although can't say for sure whether it's going to be Pierce versus Aldis. I know you were going there.
Right.
But
they can have one.
Yeah, general manager versus general manager.
I would save that for Mania. You would build it. Build it.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if Adam Pearce can wrestle anymore, but I don't know. And even speaking of like whether or not they can wrestle, did Nick Aldis suffer some sort of career threatening injury that I wasn't aware of in NWA?
I don't think so. I think the contract was up and
okay.
Well, he was here a couple months ago.
Right.
Was he wrestling?
Yeah. Was he in Impact for a little while after he left? I know he was in TNA. Initially, he was Magnus.
Magnus, yeah.
He never went back after NWA? he just kind of, the whole thing with NWA just fizzled out.
I'm trying to.
He had a falling out with Billy Pumpkins or something.
Yeah. It was pretty sour.
But he smashed the pumpkin.
Yeah.
I don't have Impact, the weekly show right now. Like I haven't had it for a while. I did get the Bound for Glory pay-per-view.
I think he was just floating around the indies for a little while after he left NWA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so too.
But yeah, so I'm trying to think, like, why are they not putting him in a wrestling role? Like, the guy's still, like, he's huge.
The guy can go, yeah. He's one of the best things.
Like, he's tall, he's got very wide shoulders. Like, put him next to Roman Reigns and he'd be like, he'd make Roman look small.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah,
for
sure. Like, but I don't know. Maybe we're building to that. Maybe we're building to him being put into a match with somebody.
Hopefully.
It'll probably end up being Nick Aldis versus Roman Reigns in a Saudi Arabia match. But hey, you know what? For Nick Aldis to wrestle for a world title in front of a crowd that big, I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's what LA Knight's doing right now. So
he's and I say this, but yeah, if I was to make a list of the 10 best things going in pro wrestling right now, LA Knight, Eli Drake.
Yeah.
He's in that list.
Oh, for sure.
Fantastic. Yeah.
If he's not, you're a dummy.
Yeah.
And we can say, yeah, we were fans back then.
Oh yeah, we were fans we knew all about Eli Drake.
Eli Drake, yeah. Like when he had the machine.
The dummy button.
It's like, oh, this is brilliant.
Dummy.
This guy is going to be huge one day.
And it's happening.
He's even started capping off his promos by saying, and that's not an insult, that's just a fact of life. With everybody saying.
Perfect.
The fucking Impact promo with Matt Hardy. Dummy, yeah, delete. Dummy, yeah, delete.
Obsolete, dummy.
But so dumb, but so great.
What I'm waiting for the WWE crowd to start doing is like when he was in NWA, he would come out before, like, you know how he starts all of his promos.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The NWA crowd for a little while was started to talk to us, chat. I am waiting for the WWE crowds to start doing that. I want to, like, if SmackDown ever comes here and I end up going, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Like, everybody, let's start to talk to us. I'm going to bring a sign that says, talk to us, LA Knight.
We'll be us and Mason will be the four guys, and everyone else will be like, what?
Talk to us.
Okay, so LA Knight, Nick Aldis, they're both on SmackDown.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Wait, SmackDown will be here next because Raw was just here. So next it'll be SmackDown.
So next July, probably.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be SmackDown.
Cool.
All right. I might actually have to take in a WWF card.
Oh, prepare. if it's a televised show, prepare for the ads. My God,
so
the
many
ad
ads.
Breaks.
So oh, many okay. ads.
That would definitely.
We're ready to go deaf?
I've never been to one of the tapings. I've never been to one of the Raws
the televised.
SmackDowns. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the idea of it was pretty cool. But I've been to two of them now, and it's just like the amount of ad breaks that you have to sit through.
Mm-hmm.
Eh.
Yeah. It was weird, though, when Raw had no pyro. That was
oh,
weird.
Yeah. Like the most recent one, didn't open up with pyro.
Like, they did, like, the entrance theme and blah, 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 and then Judgment Day came out, and we're like, where's the pyro? The fuck?
I don't know, man. But, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. If it comes back... It's like the one preference about house shows is just, it's just match after match.
Yeah,
after
yes.
match after
house
match.
Shows
yeah.
are great. Yeah.
There's no bullshit. Last WWE thing before we move on to some other stuff here. Looks like everyone that was speculating, what's Punk doing?
Hopefully staying the fuck away.
What is he doing? Apparently it's not going to the WWE. Are you
surprised?
Well,
as far as we know,
right.
Like, everyone could be swerving us here, but I know that Triple H and Pepsi Phil did not get along with each other behind the scenes. So if he does come back, I can't see Triple H really booking anything in his favor.
Yeah.
So,
do you think a bridge has been burned?
Because of that? Like, I can't see Punk being really signed to anywhere. I don't. like AEW and WWE seem to be the only ones that could afford his outrageous price tag.
Right.
I don't see Impact paying out.
Yeah, and like, Punk isn't, no.
I think Punk and AEW is getting paid more than anyone on the Impact roster combined.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, so unless you got McMahon or Khan money, you're not getting Pepsi Phil on your TV screens.
No,
probably not. Would he make a difference in the WWF anyways?
No. He didn't make a difference in AEW. Well, he did for a tiny little bit.
Yeah, like, okay.
Initially, like, he did.
Yeah, but he got an extra $200,000
and all
that.
What kind of worries me is, did Survivor Series sell out in Chicago because of the rumor?
Yeah.
Did Impact sell out in Chicago because of the rumor?
Probably. He was backstage at Bound for Glory, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm worried that the Chicago crowd is going to hijack Survivor Series now with CM Punk chants, and then they're just going to be let down. they are going to be let down, not me.
I would be all for hearing CM Punk chants at the Survivor Series. For that.
But like, if we did hear Cult of Personality, it would pop for a little bit, but then like after it would wear off. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't really feel any which way about it now after all the trouble that he caused in AEW.
Care.
Right.
Oh, great. Click.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Like, it's hard for me to just... I was so excited, like I said, like on our little bonus episode that we did all about CM Punk getting fired. I was so excited initially when he came back because it had been 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
that pop was fucking huge.
It was. It was great to see.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear Cult of Personality again on a wrestling program was fun. But, yeah, I don't know. I just can't see it. I can't see it happening. And even if it did, I don't think I'd really feel any which way about it.
No,
fair enough. Horns in the middle on this one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are probably punked out by now.
Punked out?
You know, yeah, like we're all kind of, I think we've all... We've all had enough. Yeah.
Oh, so he still has his hardcore fan base, his simps, if you will.
Yeah. Nice. Punk's the main face again on the Pro Wrestling Tees Mystery Crate this month.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Ah.
Is he still on? Is his stuff still on AEW Shop? Because if they are, I mean.
I keep forgetting.
I wouldn't.
Like,
let me check.
Yeah, we have the internet in the palm of our hand.
I already
have Pro Wrestling Tees open because I was searching the Headbangers earlier.
Right.
Well, it could be on Pro Wrestling Tees, but
if
it's on Shop AEW.
AEW.com.
This is...
I gotta go over Wrestling Tees one of these times just to have a look.
I would go broke immediately.
Do they have
so much good shit?
I imagine they've got
such good shit.
They've got NWA stuff and they've got...
Well, you just
indie
have to search the wrestlers and shit, yeah.
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 Old territory stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was a time where like anything that wasn't WWE you could find on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah, but I guess once
Vince bought everything.
Yeah.
Like, there's Stone Cold Steve Austin shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because he was Steve Austin.
Right, but WWE owns Stone Cold. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the
Shop
is
AEW just... has the live event exclusive hat for when he came back.
Still? That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. A back-to-school poster print.
Mm-hmm.
A CM Punk AEW World Championship replica belt engraved nameplate.
Oh, okay.
The best in the world ringer shirt, the socks, and the...
So, in other words, yes, they do still have CM Punk merch.
And the jacket.
Okay.
They got Punk shit.
Well...
Yeah. Which, if I was still a CM Punk fan, that jacket's actually pretty sweet.
Hell, there's even speculation that CM Punk might be the guy behind the devil mask.
Yeah.
And that this whole him being fired thing was just a huge work... And that he's going to come back as a heel, as the devil, to finish off his storyline with MJF.
Pissed.
It was me, Austin.
Fucking pissed.
I'd be
so mad.
I mean, I could see it. I can also see it being Adam Cole. I don't know. I don't know what's real or fake anymore.
People are also speculating David Finlay. They're like, the nose. Look at the nose.
Yeah,
the ear.
The nose on the molded mask.
It was molded for his face.
The angles of his shoulders. Yeah.
See, fuck off.
We once again, we have to go back to the old school way of thinking. We knew it was Dusty Rhodes as the yellow dog. Mm-hmm. We knew it.
Ric Flair was the fucking
scorpion.
The black scorpion. Yeah. We knew all this, but we pretended that we didn't.
Yeah.
That can't be. No, Dusty Rhodes lost. That's not him and all that. Yeah. But in the back of our minds.
And yeah, they would do the big reveal and everyone would be like, well, yeah.
Yeah. It was. Like, but yeah,
we already figured that out.
Oh my God, it really was Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah, nowadays it's like, why don't I hear gasping? It's like, we already figured it out.
We know.
That's right. See, as soon as they announce the angle, it's here. Huh. See, on my phone,
yeah,
it's him.
If it is Punk, that'd be interesting.
It would be, but who knows? Like I said, like nothing's a secret anymore. So, like, do wrestling companies kind of got to work extra hard to make things shocking?
So, yeah.
That's why I keep like speculating: is Adam Cole actually injured, or is it just a storyline? Is CM Punk actually fired, or is it just a storyline?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson really injured with an orbital bone crack, or is it just a storyline to lead to his next match with Okada? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, there were times, you know, where there would be a legit injury, but there was no guaranteed contracts, mm-hmm. so they would still have to show up to TV to cut a promo, to swing a crutch. Yeah.
If it is, you know, in story, because remember in that match with Okada, he broke his forearm.
Yeah.
Well, and then in that match in Dynamite, he quote-unquote broke his orbital bone.
Right, but that's like, then the camera was kind of lingering on him for quite a while. So, and like with Wrestle Kingdom coming up in a couple of months.
Ooh.
You know,
Brian Okada in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to have a sleepover, boys?
They watch
Wrestle Kingdom at 3 in the morning.
they did say that he was going to be out for the rest of the year. So with Wrestle Kingdom being in January.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
like it kind of writes itself, you know,
Brian getting ready for Japan.
Like, I hope he's not injured because like,
If he's retiring in March,
He's been taking a fair share of injuries lately. If mm-hmm. that's the case, like
I think we should do a Wrestle Kingdom one year though. Just
yeah, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I guess we'll
if
see.
You guys can handle seeing me in my Star Wars PJs.
Sure. Oh, fuck.
Well, you guys see me in my pajamas half the time you're over here.
I'm in pajamas right now.
Yeah.
Like.
Most of the time, I'm wearing like a sleeveless T-shirt and my plaid pajama pants.
Half the time I come here, I'm in pajamas.
Yeah.
So
your Guitar Hero pajama pants.
Yep.
How old are those, by the way?
Probably like 10 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Didn't They're the last Guitar Hero game come out in 2013?
Yeah. Which Activision is teasing a new one?
Oh well. Anyway, wow. That's a discussion for another show, another time.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. The end of Bound for Glory.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't hear anything in advance, didn't know anything about this. They had a really wicked vignette, and they brought some of the wrestlers back out. They brought Scott D'Amore back out, and they announced they're going back to the name TNA.
Yeah.
Good, bad, indifferent? What do you think?
Well, the buzz around it is certainly positive for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know, because like the reason why they changed the name, wasn't it because of like there was so much like bad stuff surrounding the name at the time? When did they change the name? Was it like 2013 to Impact Wrestling?
Something like
yeah.
Has it been that long?
Google.
Well, it was definitely
it's
when
been
Hogan.
A while,
no,
yeah.
It was when Hogan was still there. I know for sure.
Okay.
So it definitely was probably 2011, 2012 around that. Because he would, I remember him wearing the shirt with the original Impact Wrestling logo. And like, but people on TV and people like were still referring to it as TNA. And for Hogan to tweet, no TNA, only Impact.
Yeah. And the name of the program was Impact. And,
yeah.
You know,
so it's like,
it
so now the name
TNA.
Of the. Now the name of the company and the name of the show was Impact Wrestling.
This doesn't seem correct.
Impact Wrestling presents Impact.
It says, this says 2017.
Really?
Yeah, that actually sounds...
Okay, well, that, that was probably...
It seems when, a lot fucking longer than that.
Well, that was probably when they officially changed it.
The promotion was purchased by Anthem at the beginning of 2017, and in March of that year was fully rebranded to Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, that
right,
makes
but
sense.
They were still referring... I think for the 4 years, they were referring to it as Impact, even though they still had TNA titles and... and people would still refer to it as TNA, except for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
like I,
right.
Like fair I said, enough, he, would, yeah. He had that tweet that said, "Yeah, basically, there is no Dana, only Zulu."
Yeah, pretty much. That's right.
That's right.
If you know, yeah, speaking of Ghostbusters,
remember. Yeah, there we
yeah, everything I see is 2017 here. So.
Oh, okay. For me personally, okay, when they first, like, we're called TNA.
Oh,
Total
yeah.
Nonstop Action. Like,
here it says.
It used to be NWA TNA for a little while.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. And it, as it turns out, the whole calling it TNA was a Russo thing.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Because.
Here it says 2011
just,
on this one.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, that yeah, that's when Hogan started calling it that, I think. And then, yeah, it took them. Or there, no, then it was.
Then it was GFW.
No, it was unofficially Impact for a few years, and then Jeff Jarrett came back and called it Global Force Wrestling.
Yep.
And then he fucked off again.
He
so,
did something.
So then they
him,
officially
yeah.
renamed it Impact, and then they took the world title and just slapped an Impact sticker over the Global Force
yeah.
sticker. And yep. yeah, there was a whole bunch of because yeah, up until it was Global Force Wrestling, they were still using TNA championships.
Yep.
I remember that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so a little we're kind of doing research as we're talking about
as,
it,
as
you
as
know.
We're going. Yeah, yeah. See, I like I get it. Total Nonstop Action, great name.
Mm-hmm.
But those letters like that. It's just
they're bringing back Test and Albert.
Like,
yeah.
People aren't, you know, because like you automatically go to tits and ass.
Yeah, well, I think that was you the know, whole yeah that was
like
that was the whole like
the
yeah intention behind the name in general. Like,
but that also doesn't work for trying to attract new fans because there's no respect there because immediately a new fan is just a potential new fan is going to go TNA
yeah
you know and then. Just go back to the WWF because that's
even
know.
Though we've been calling it TNA for fucking ever anyway.
Yeah,
well, I mean, but... I guess the acronym is just easier for people to some people to digest than just having like a full name, like or a full just a one full word.
It was cool in that comeback promo, I guess, for TNA where they had that original guy who did the TNA voice.
Oh yeah, I forget his name. But I know I can hear his voice in my head right now.
Fucking TNA
yeah.
wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Just
Cross
like,
the
oh,
line.
Shit.
Yeah.
This is like, yes.
me personally, I had no problem with the name Impact. It didn't have it kind of like you had all the other federations doing the three letter WWF, AEW,
yeah.
ROH, and all that. And this name was Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Like and so it did kind of, not that it really helped them.
Stood out a
it
little
did,
bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought it was a cool name and all that. But I'm not, you know, I'm not going to piss and moan and cry a river. I'm just, okay, they're going back to TNA.
As let's, long as they don't bring back Dixie Carter, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carter, Russo, Hogan,
yeah.
Bischoff. I don't want... any of these people.
No,
remember those
let Scott D'Amore keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like those memes going around recently with like with LA Knight and then having like Rhea Ripley in the sunglasses.
Oh yeah.
I saw one the other day with Hulk Hogan in the TNA logo.
Ugh.
Just like, no, please no.
Okay. But my only wish about this would be that like the one thing I can complain about comparing Impact to TNA was that the production quality took a huge dip.
It did.
Because, like, in the earlier days of the product, it looked like WCW, like, mm-hmm. when you would watch it on TV. It had that feel. You had Mike Tenay on commentary. Like,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And I know obviously we're not going to get Don West back, RIP,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
if Tenay could come back even part-time, that would be, or for pay-per-views, that would be even pretty cool. But, like, it had a certain feel to it that it does not have now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, and if they could get that production quality back, I'm not saying go back to the Impact Zone in Florida, but
do the tunnel entrances again.
Yeah. But if they could get that crane cam back that they had in those days.
Yeah. Like, that'd be cool.
Yeah. But the six-sided ring I could do without, A, because it was gimmicky as fuck, and B, right. It was dangerous for the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've already, like, gotten rid of it and brought it back and got rid of it so many times.
Leave that to CMLL.
Yeah. Yeah, just leave it at four sides. I'm fine with that. like at the time, it made it stand out, but just let the wrestling.
I was pissed when Hogan got rid of it.
Oh, so everybody was. Like, on the very first episode of Impact, when they got back to a standard wrestling ring, like, everyone was chanting, "We want six sides."
Yeah. Hogan was like, "That six side bullshit's gone."
I said, "You had your chance with six sides, brother."
Didn't he? Didn't Hogan wanted to change it just because it was difficult for him to personally get in the ring?
Probably.
Or that's why the ramp. They made the ramp from the stage to
the ring. I think
I can't figure this out, brother.
Yeah, I think the physics of it, like the way the ring was built too, being that there was more posts, meant that the actual, like, mat was harder, I think.
Okay.
And like the bouncing off the ropes was more difficult because they were shorter from turnbuckle to turnbuckle.
Right.
So,
and throwing the guy into the ropes, like, well, which rope?
Yeah.
Which way you go?
Over there or over there?
Well, like, even those interviews with AJ I've seen, it's just like, the six-sided ring was cool, I liked it, blah, 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 but at the same time, it fucking hurt.
Yeah. Like, I imagine, like, any apron spots would be way more painful than they are in any other promotion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can you just drop me on my head in front of the buckle?
Yeah.
It'll be like an apron spot.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. Another thing I want to look forward to as I always do. I know it's not super important, but I'm looking forward to seeing the new belts. Like, yeah.
They're another company who changes their belts way too goddamn much, though.
Yeah, but am I wrong in saying that the TNA Championship looked better than the current Impact Championship?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't want them to go back to the old designs, even though the old X Division and World Championship and the tag team, well, pretty much all of them, they all looked better when they were TNA Championships. Mm-hmm. But give us something new. Give us something that looks cool.
Would be cool if they had the NWA title defended on their shows again every once in a while.
That won't happen. But, or maybe it might. I don't know.
Billy Pumpkins, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, like, there's nothing wrong with a little crossover here and there, you know?
Well, I know, but
call it TNA, NWA, Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. But, no, like, I always love a good new belt reveal, because it's like the anticipation, is you're just like,
As long as they don't look like the 24/7 championship.
As long as it's not just a big TNA logo that takes up 90% or 95% of the belt. But no, I have faith that they'll create something that looks cool, that looks prestigious. Like, even though the old TNA championship looked just like big gold with the big blue TNA letters on the front, but no, I have faith that they'll come up with something cool, or at least, like, appealing, not something that makes you, like, raise an eyebrow and go, the fuck?
The hell?
That's literally just the logo. But
yeah. Either way, it's definitely going to be interesting in the Impact /TNA camp.
Yeah, we'll have to. I know this is not a usual thing for us, but with AEW seemingly going for one pay-per-view a month, I don't think we'll really be buying all of them.
Yeah, but that's another thing.
Yeah,
but maybe we should pepper in some. We'll have to get her to watch Hard to Kill next year. Yeah.
Yes.
The first event under TNA again.
Yes, it's taking place.
It's like January 13th.
January 13th.
Yeah,
and it's taking place from the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm.
The pictures of the theater that I've seen, it's a 2,500 seat venue. And yeah, I had, like, there's like a stage where they can put the actual stage to have the ramp come down.
Right.
The floors on the seat are completely removable. So
was that where they had their first thing on Spike? Because I know Spike did Vegas for the first month, I think, TNA
did
was
they?
In Vegas.
I thought, as far as I knew, it was always in the Impact Zone when they were on Spike. But
I swear the first episode on Spike were in Vegas.
I don't know, man. I just work here.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
You guys have a better memory of this type of stuff.
I don't like I've never been like an avid watcher of TNA. There's been like a few weeks where I've watched it like back to back to back, but I never got like immersed in it like I have with AEW or WWE.
Well, so. It was the only thing other than the WWF at the time, I guess it was.
Yeah.
No, I guess it was E. I don't know.
It was F for No, it was E already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like it was the alternate. You know,
yeah.
Like there was something other than because there was a Ring of Honor, but the only way that we could
TV,
see it,
yeah,
there was no TV up here. You had to order the DVDs, yeah. You know, from RF.
Well, even with TNA initially, you had to buy the weekly pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Which I did.
It was
10 bucks a month times
ten
4.
Bucks a week.
10
yeah,
bucks a week.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Times 4 equals 40, which is the equivalent of
that's one
WWF pay-per-view.
That
so it
really
worked.
Starts to add up after a while, though.
Well, but I wasn't ordering WWF pay-per-views. I was just doing the NWA TNA.
Yeah, but like $40 a month on top of your cable bill already?
Yeah, I try not to think about it.
I know.
My missus handles all the finances.
Yeah, but it's like...
I just order the pay-per-views and then blame her for them.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I got to be a lot more choosy about the AEW pay-per-views that I order now, because when it was when it was the one every quarter, I could afford that. That was $200 a year, easy peasy.
Right.
Now it's going to be $600, so
yeah,
it's a bit of a stretch.
So what I'm thinking, Matt, what we might have to do is...
Split duties?
Yeah. Just you guys are going to have to pile into my place.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, for the NWA, for Impact, for some of the AEW and all that, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you guys know where I live.
Yep. Snowy Manor.
Yeah.
That's right.
And now, those ones my dad will have to come to, because that's our way there.
That's right.
I guess so.
That's right.
Unless we Uber to and from, but then again, I'll just be spending $50 anyway.
Anyway, it's not Uber, yeah.
Especially Ubering to your place from here? Fuck that.
Oh, yeah, for you, because you live in, like, the deepest, darkest parts of Charleswood, apparently.
Yeah. You're on the other side of town from my place.
Yeah. Every time I go to your place, it's like every time I think I've taken the last turn, it's like, oh no, there's another one.
And then there's another one. Yeah. And another one.
And I would drive all over the world to go hang out with grandma and grandpa, but you know, but
I'm there. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we still got to put up with you.
Fuck you.
You should get a dog or a cat, then we'll come over.
Yes. Anyways, one last thing, and it'll lead us into our turnbuckle talk.
Oh, before we go into the turnbuckle talk, Ronda Rousey's back
on
the Independence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She showed up in an event. Was it in Mexico? No.
I didn't really look into it.
It was her and Maria Shafir against like Brian Kendrick and somebody.
Oh, okay. So
the match was 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
Ronda made Brian Kendrick tap with an ankle lock to win. And now she just got announced for Pro Wrestling Revolver.
Okay.
Really?
So Sammy Callahan's promotion.
So she's doing an indie run.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd see that.
See, I can get behind that, because then that shows, because she's not, like, it was obvious it was all about the money in the WWF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, if she's doing an indie run, then
does she actually
maybe
give a shit?
She actually cares about it, because Pro Wrestling Revolver isn't paying her as much as Vince was.
Oh, of course.
Not even close.
Not that she
so why
needs
would
any
she...
more money.
No.
But...
Yeah.
She's
so
fucking set for life.
Why she must be doing this just because, like, the David Arquette thing.
Yeah.
David Arquette's got lots of Courtney Cox money. Okay.
Yeah.
No, they're divorced now.
Yeah.
Or anyways, yeah, he's set.
Well, I'm sure he's still making royalty checks off of the Scream movies anyway. So.
Yeah,
the show is November 16th. It's on Fight.
Okay. That was going to be my next question.
Fight TV.
Okay. All right. Good. I'll watch that. I'll watch that for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Sting retiring.
Yeah. Well, it's happened once before, but this is thankfully this is under his own his own free will. Not
right.
Being forced by doctors. Because, like, if you remember, in 2015, he took a buckle bomb from Seth Rollins.
Right.
And, yeah.
Collapsed.
Yeah, collapsed. Couldn't feel, lost feeling in his hands. And, yeah, WWE doctors told him no more. And this was a very shitty way to end his career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being that he was, like, such a staple in WCW and TNA leading up to this, he gets to the WWE and he has two matches and loses both of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that was essentially his retirement speech.
Yep.
But then again, he gave us that classic line, one thing's for sure about the Stinger, it's that nothing's for sure.
Fair enough. So do you think this is it?
He's 64? Yeah, I would hope so. Like, I know you that trope, you never truly retire in professional wrestling. Right. But
Rick.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll get
this,
to
yeah,
we'll
this
get,
is
we'll
kind
get
of
to that
scary.
If they do announce another Ric Flair match.
Well,
God forbid. I don't think AEW would clear that. Like, I guess we didn't really talk about it, but yeah, Ric Flair is now in AEW, and
he said he's doing this last ride with Sting.
Yeah, I think that just means that he's going to be accompanying him to the ring.
I
don't imagine that it'll be like Sting's retirement match will be against Ric Flair. Even I understand like the history between those two.
We don't need Ric almost dying in the ring again.
Yeah. But, like, I'm not saying Sting wouldn't take care of him in the ring.
No, Sting would 100% take care of Rick.
However.
It would not be good.
Ric Flair can barely walk and talk under his own power these days. If you saw him on Dynamite this past week.
It's like that episode of Family Guy where Peter can't do two things at once. Lois goes, Peter, are you coming? And he's on the ground, face down, chewing gum.
Yeah.
I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, but, like, I hope he's just there for the support. Because, like, I know they had their very first match in Nitro was at the Mall of America with Sting versus Flair. The very last ever Nitro match, very last ever WCW match was Sting versus Ric Flair. We don't need to see it again. They never faced each other in TNA, did they?
No, that was Sting and Hogan.
Okay, good. Yeah, like, I understand the historical relevance of those two, but it can't happen. Sorry.
No.
Like, Sting's. Yeah. I do have an idea of who I want Sting's last opponent to be, but I'll save that. You probably have a whole section where we're going to talk about that later. Or do you?
No.
Okay.
Actually.
Well.
Who would you want? This is the perfect time for it.
Who would I want?
Yeah. Sting's last match. Sting's final opponent.
Jeff Hardy.
Okay. I want to make up for
the promo leading up to it. Have the Hardy Boys be doubting themselves and have Sting come out and talk to Jeff and be like, it's like, I select you to be my last opponent because I don't want the wrestling community's memory of Sting versus Jeff Hardy to be from 2011. I want it to be from now in Revolution, something along those lines. I'm not going to cut promos, but
Yeah,
I don't want the internet, or I don't want the wrestling community's memory of Sting versus Jeff Hardy to be Victory Road. I want it to be Revolution. So
that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. I have a feeling that could work. But if it's like a newer guy, kind of feels like it's going to be Darby Allin.
Yeah.
But
that's what I was thinking too, and I got no problem with Sting going out on his back either. Like, that's
he's definitely I can see it. Like, he's definitely like jobbing. He's gonna do the job for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Put him over hard. But now
everyone's speculating Edge too. That they've never been.
Yeah,
because
Sting was in WWE while Edge was retired.
Yep.
So.
But Edge will probably be his partner at Full Gear next month anyway.
Yeah, I can see that. But I don't know.
Time will tell.
It will most likely be Darby Allin, but I don't know.
Darby will make Sting look like a fucking $1 million.
Yeah, but I know Jeff Hardy doesn't need the rub. The guy's been world champion in two different promotions.
Yeah.
So.
To redo that, though, would be nice.
Yeah, just to give him
right or wrong.
Or maybe even just a match like to lead up to to his retirement match.
Sting can be like, here's the guys I want to face before I retire.
Yeah, or just like have it be like not as maybe not as retirement match, but maybe at that upcoming pay per view at World's End or whatever.
Like him and Jeff.
Yeah, Sting versus Jeff Hardy. Like,
yeah,
just the match we never got.
How about spin the wheel, make the deal, Sting? You have 25, 30 names, Sting.
Yeah,
you know, and then
Jeff Hardy
lands on
Jeff Hardy.
You know,
and then yeah, they have to zoom in on the thing on the top just so they can't see the guy like trying to make it stop on Jeff Hardy's name.
It just suddenly just turns really fast.
Yeah,
Jeff. Jeff. The wheel only went halfway around. Oh. Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, and the cherry on top for that promo of Sting challenging Jeff Hardy for one last match, the match we never got. If people start chanting, by chance, they start chanting, this is awesome, Sting will just look around and go, I agree.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And then Jeff can just be like, I won't let you down.
Yeah. You better not.
So a Stingless pro wrestling world.
Well, we've already kind of had it.
Definitely be weird.
We've already had it between 2015 and 2021, so...
Okay, but everything that he's done in AEW has kind of eclipsed, at least in my eyes. It feels like he really... Okay, he's not what he was years ago.
No, he definitely needs to be in tag team matches.
Right. He needs to not jump off shit is what he needs.
He needs to not jump off shit, yeah.
He's fine. Yeah.
So I totally forgot that he had a layoff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, to me, a wrestling world without Sting is going to be very bizarre, which kind of brings us into... This episode's a turnbuckle talk. I want to talk about all things Stinger,
mm-hmm.
And some of our basic questions and all that. I'm really curious as to some of your answers about Sting. Okay. First of all, how and when did you guys first discover Sting?
WCW.
WCW.
Okay, yeah. What year?
97, 98.
Yep.
Is that like when
he was the Crow?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The feud with Hogan where they didn't touch for a year.
Yeah, I didn't learn about Surfer Sting until after the fact.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, as far as I knew, Sting was basically just the Crow.
He was always the Crow.
Yeah, right? for the longest time, and then mm-hmm. like I was like, but I loved the mystique around him. I loved the look, like with the trench coat, the baseball bat, the hair, the face paint, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about him, just to me, when I was 12. I was just like, man, this guy is fucking cool.
Is,
I love
yeah.
this guy. And like, yeah, like, yeah. And like, and later on learning that like his build up to his match with Hogan for the world title, he didn't speak for an entire year, which was such an antithesis to his previous gimmicks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Of him.
And
being
that
like,
was his first
was
year as
Crow promo.
Sting, wasn't it?
Hmm?
That was his first year of Crow Sting, wasn't it?
Yeah, 97 or 96 to 97 was the first that whole year of build up, just seeing him up in the rafters, just staring down, being that he was going to be the one to save WCW from the NWO.
Yeah. And it worked so well.
Yeah. And then the match happened, and well,
yeah,
Hogan's politics got in the way.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Is that the same thing with you, dude?
Was
it at that?
Yep.
At that period, yeah. For myself, you might find this hard to believe. I go back a little sooner, a little before that.
What?
Do tell.
Yes. Yes. His rookie year with the Aftermags.
What?
Yeah, no. I know. When
no. Swerve.
When like even going before the UWF days, when Sting and Rock,
oh yeah,
okay, yeah. were the Blade Runners.
Yes, I remember you
in
telling yep.
the territories, and of course Rock would eventually become the Ultimate Warrior.
Yep.
At the time, and
I won't lie, I was confused when you said that in the chat the other day. You're like Blade Runner, and I was like, "What the fuck are
Blade
Runner Sting?
Talking about?" Yeah.
I was like, "What the fuck is Blade Runner Sting?"
I was like, "Is that what you call Surfer Sting?"
Yeah, that's what went through my head. I'm like, "Is he an idiot?"
Because he has like at the time he had a haircut like that one guy from Blade Runner. Like,
yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah,
no, he was a surfer, dumbass.
Blade Runner Sting actually predates Surfer. I never got a chance to see Blade Runner, Sting, or Rock, like, even on television, because we just didn't have it up here. We did start to get the UWF Sunday afternoons up here, and that was my first seeing of Sting. Okay, here's the guy. Okay, he's not a Blade Runner anymore, thank God. Okay, he's still called Sting. He's a heel working under in Eddie Gilbert's camp.
Right.
And all that, but I'm finally seeing this guy, and I can't, like, I can see the potential, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, like, this guy could end up really being something. So, yeah, my, right from the beginning.
So, did Sting and Rock have face paint?
Very little. Okay. The eyeliner, yeah, sort of, and
that was like when I discovered Surfer Sting before he became the Crow. Like when he started growing his hair out, like he still had like the face paint that just covered his eyes,
basically. The like the blue and red,
the sides of his face, not his entire face. Like he would end up doing with the Crow gimmick, but yeah, like one thing that when I saw pictures of this Sting, I immediately thought, like, oh, he looks like the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that was, like, WCW kind of tried to do, because, like, saw the Ultimate Warrior and was like, oh, well, this guy used to be in a tag team with him, so we got to give him face paint that looks like this. Or was that, maybe that was Dusty Rhodes' idea.
It would have been the other way around. Sting, you know, had the face paint.
Right.
You know, the war paint.
Yeah.
Rock would go to World Class as the Dingo Warrior.
Oh, oh,
that was fucking brutal.
Like Dingo, and Dingo is in the Australian dog, Dingo, yeah. Wild dog.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know how they came up with that.
The
but
Dingo.
It was just sick. It's like, okay, this is dumb. Then the WWF would sign Hellwig, change it to the Ultimate Warrior, and
that
was history. It was cool seeing how they started together and then different companies would become the face of those companies with kind of sort of the same gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, it's just Sting could cut a promo and speak coherently while the Ultimate Warrior, not so much.
Hulk Hogan, you know? And all the Ultimate Warrior, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about how they're going to possess Hulk Hogan's jet plane and bring it down into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan.
Now, the big question, though, about this, who did you discover first? Sting the Wrestler or Roxanne? Which Sting did you discover first?
The Wrestler.
Yeah?
Well, maybe, I don't know, like, I know Sting was on an episode of The Simpsons back in the day, the one where Bart falls down the well.
Yeah,
but
I was one of my fans needs my help.
Yeah,
what a
well, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, well, yeah, not as long as one of my fans needs me. Yeah. It's like, well, I don't think Bart's ever. Shh, Marge, he's a good digger. That's right. Sting, Mom, Dad. I was never familiar with Sting's music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, up until like later on when I would discover like his solo stuff and
wait, the Crow is an artist?
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Steve Borden. He wrote all those great songs. Yeah.
That's right.
The icon Sting.
Yeah. Sting, yeah, next, yeah, Sting's gonna be coming out too. I'll be watching you.
That would be really funny. Tony Khan?
Yeah.
What about you? Rock star or wrestler first?
Wrestler first.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the Police weren't really a thing.
I mean, not in my
way. Or maybe even... I don't fucking know.
I probably heard some Police and Sting songs on the radio when I was a kid, but just didn't really pay attention.
Just this sounds cool. Okay.
Yeah. I can't stand losing.
Yeah. You might find this kind of hard to believe.
Yeah.
But I had actually was a fan of the Police.
Okay.
You know, and discovered the rock band, the singer in like 1980 and really didn't discover Sting until like
you like the Police? Canceled.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Police.
Nobody likes the Police and all that. So like I have to admit, like the first time that this wrestler named Sting, how is this legally possible? Like what's going to happen when Sting the rock star gets wind of this? Is there?
I think it's legal if it's used for different purposes.
Yeah, because but, like, can you really own the word Sting?
It's Stang.
Stung. now that he's retired, he can be called Stung.
Stung. It's Stung.
And the funny thing is, just maybe 3 months ago, I finally, and it's an older picture, but I finally saw my first picture of Sting and Sting together.
I mean,
like on the Facebooks.
But hey, you know, if Sting and Edge do team up, Sting and Copeland.
Stuart Copeland, yeah.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
You go, boy.
The drummer for the Police, yeah.
You Stuart betcha, Copeland. You betcha.
Yeah, so yeah. Sting and Copeland will finally be reunited on AEW pay-per-view.
This is a little...
Okay, Tony Khan, get a Police song. But just for that.
Speaking of Stuart Copeland...
Can Edge wear the face paint?
Probably. I mean, if CM Punk did that one time, then sure.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't... As much as Gene Simmons of Kiss themes seems to think that he owns face paint...
He thinks he owns orange juice.
He thinks he owns everything. Yes.
They sell air guitar strings.
As fans of musicians, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Stuart Copeland's latest record is just he remade some old Police songs with an orchestra.
That's cool.
It's brilliant.
Is it called On This Day I See Clearly?
Yeah, no. It's a brilliant record. Unfortunately, I had to settle on the CD. I wish... As soon as I find a vinyl on it, I'm definitely snapping that up. Yeah. Shot in the Dark. WCW was only here once.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys go to that card?
I did not.
I did.
Was Sting there on the card?
He was supposed to be.
The main event was supposed to be Sting and Luger. It was Sid Vicious and Luger.
Ah,
bit of a trade-off.
So then you guys
like Sting was
never
supposed to be
Sting
there.
Live.
Goldberg was supposed to be the big fucking names. Were supposed
this
to
was
be
in right. the this was in the Bischoff Russo era though. Yeah. So a lot of things that were supposed to happen didn't.
It was advertised. It was like Hall, Nash, Hogan, Goldberg, Flair, Sting.
Basically, the big boys.
The big boys. Yeah.
The big boys.
How
did not.
How many people actually showed up?
None.
Yeah, the big boys did not come to play that day.
Yeah. They're like, we're going where? Okay.
Where the hell is Winnipeg? What the fuck?
I'm sure they know where it is, but whatever.
Fortunately, I did get to see Sting live once. The one time Crockett came up here under the NWA banner. Barry Windham was in the Horsemen. He was the United States champion. And he... I think Sting won... by DQ because of
outside interference?
Yeah, because of J.J. Dillon's interference and all that. So that's like the one and only time that I ever got to see Sting live.
I pulled up the card. I found the card.
The WCW card? Okay, I'd be interested to hear this.
Okay. The first match was Prince Isaiah.
Right.
Whatever the fuck his name is. Versus Billy Kidman for the Cruiserweight Championship.
That's a good curtain jerker.
Iaikea won. Then it was Big Ron versus Mike Rotunda.
Big Ron.
Wasn't that Boss Man?
Big Ron was Big Boss Man.
Oh, okay.
Then it was Brian. Oh, Big Ron won.
Or was he? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember Big Ron because wasn't he just going by Ray Traylor?
Yeah, Ray. That was I think he was still in WWF at the time.
I don't know a big run.
I know why all the big boys didn't come. It was in the middle of February.
Ah.
Oh, boo fucking who?
Yeah. Yeah, shit.
Then it was Brian Knobs and Fit Finley against Norman Smiley and The Wall.
Holy fuck.
Oh, yeah. Wall.
Holy jeez.
You mean Sergeant AWOL from the Misfits in Action?
Yeah.
Yeah. Buff Bagwell defeated Kurt Hennig.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Jarrett defeated Vampiro by submission.
Huh.
And then Sid Vicious defeated Lex Luger.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
That's a very underwhelming card. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy shit. Do you have a favorite match? Favorite Sting match?
I'd have to say probably his best match would be against Ric Flair at Clash of the Champions.
The very first Clash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Ron was Ron Reese.
From, okay.
Oh, okay.
But my favorite match that I saw on TV, there was a match in 1999 on Nitro that he had against Diamond Dallas Page that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an, when he was Wolfpack Sting. In the, with the red and black face paint. Hey, it looked awesome. It looked
even though
he was set out to destroy the NWO and then ended up joining them. At least it was the face baby face NWO.
Yeah,
but yeah. So it was Red and Black Sting versus Bret Hart.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it was for the United States Championship.
That was the Benoit Memorial, right?
I don't
know. No, the Owen Hart?
The Benoit Memorial?
I've got shit wrong. No, yeah. I was thinking the Owen Hart one was Benoit and Brett.
No, yeah, it was. That was the match that took place in Kansas City. But yeah, I don't remember exactly when this was, but this would be the last time we ever saw Black and Red Sting, because Bret Hart whacked him in the shin with a baseball bat. And then he was out for a while, and when he came back as the Crow. So, but then everyone was like, but at that time, both NWOs had merged back together.
Yeah.
And they had the half white, half red logo. And when Sting came back, he was just like, people were like, well, he could still be in the NWO since they're.
That's when the NWO had 1,000 members.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anytime
I mean, it did before the Wolfpack split off. So, yeah. But yeah, like when the Wolfpack and the. After the finger poke of doom, when the Wolfpack and the Black and White merged back together, yeah, Sting came back as his old usual self. And then, yeah, I guess seeing his final match with Ric Flair, the final ever WCW match, that was just cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the history.
And Rick looked like shit then.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Yeah. But yeah. What about you?
Probably Sting DDP.
Oh, okay.
That one too.
Yeah.
It was good.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You mentioned the first
tag
clash.
Team match at Road Wild.
Which one?
That randomly just popped into my mind.
Oh, it was like Sting and Luger versus the Outsiders?
No, wrong match.
That was Hog Wild. Yeah.
Wrong match, but yeah, that was a good tag.
That was the one where Hogan won the WCW championship from the Giant when he whacked him in the head with Jimmy Hart's megaphone.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, how do you remember all this?
I rented that tape from my local video store a lot.
Because
that was the only WCW tape they had.
Yeah,
and it was from 19.
Yeah.
It was from 1996.
Pick a Flick? Because Pick a Flick had WCW.
It was either Mr. Video or Video Stop. It was a mom and pop shop.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. my dad went to every mom and pop shop in the neighborhood before Blockbuster was his only choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same thing with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure, for sure. That first clash. That's what put Sting on the map.
Oh yeah. Like kudos to Ric Flair for putting the young guy over at the time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it was a 45-minute draw, but still.
Well, Steve made him look good.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah. So, in essence, but he wouldn't win the title until after the knee injury, joining the Horsemen, getting kicked out.
And, yeah.
That's when he would go on to win his first NWA title. But that match, because it was on TBS, okay, and it was head-to-head with WrestleMania 4, I want to say.
Yeah. It was on closed circuit TV.
Yeah. Or, yeah, like the WWF presented WrestleMania. It was either closed circuit or the very infancy of pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And Vince had shot all, you know, shots fired at Crockett. Even though there was no competition, they were always shooting at Crockett. Mm-hmm. Crockett finally had enough. Okay. You got WrestleMania coming up. Well, we're going to give you this Clash of the Champions card for free. And at the end of the day, even though the WWF was kicking ass in the war, more people saw Sting versus Flair than the main event of
whatever Mania WrestleMania, 4, yeah.
Which would have been, I guess, Hogan Savage winning the title.
Yeah.
Then WrestleMania 5.
Yeah, because 3 was Hogan Andre. Yeah, right. Yeah, 5. Right. I don't remember. Yeah.
Wasn't 5 that tournament for the title?
I don't know.
That 4 was.
4 was?
Yeah, and Hogan was eliminated early and then helped.
Oh yeah, and the main event was DiBiase, Macho Man.
And Hogan
right.
And it was Hogan at Trump Savage. Plaza.
Yeah, and then the next year later was Trump Plaza.
And then the year after that was the Sky Dome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had
the
all
Superdome.
The,
yeah.
You had the mega powers imploded.
Oh yeah.
After 4, and then WrestleMania 5, Hogan won it back and all that. And now.
And then he went to WCW.
When you think back, okay, with fucking Trump, okay, with everything becoming president, and the guy's such a fucking scumbag, and
well, back then he wasn't so hated.
Yeah, and it's like. Vince was in bed with Trump
way back then,
and all that. And I just, you have like pro wrestling fans that love the WWF but hate Trump for his politics. You know, it's kind of cringy.
Oh, well,
I
know that Vince and the Donald are fucking buddies, so. I don't know. I hate Vince McMahon just as much as I hate Donald Trump. So,
right. Me too.
Yeah. Like
me too. Yeah.
And if that offends anybody out there, then
yeah,
that's not my problem. Sorry.
That's right. And finally, do you have a favorite Sting?
It looks like Wolfpack Sting.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the red and black.
Okay.
If you know me, you know.
Yeah.
But Crow Sting. That'll always be my Sting. Mm-hmm. Crow Sting. I did like Joker Sting, though.
Oh, okay.
For like a later career, like something different.
The TNA run, yeah.
Yeah. Like if you go on Impact's YouTube page, the entire Joker Sting storyline is there in one video. It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, from the origins of Joker Sting to when he went just absolutely insane on Hulk Hogan. And yeah, he started dressing in the red suits with the black shirts and the red tie, which that look was also pretty cool. But he had the smeared makeup too. Mm-hmm. And like,
you could just tell at that point, they were just like, go have fun.
Yeah. Just
yeah.
Go do your thing.
Yep.
Yeah. He was like
backed up the Brinks. And
you want to do a crazy angle? Go.
Yeah. Like, the way he did his voice though, it kind of sounded like it was kind of like a, what if Jim Carrey played the Joker instead of the Riddler? Yeah. Well, here you go.
Sting.
Yeah. Steve Borden.
What about you, man? Do you have a favorite type Sting?
Probably Crow Sting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any reason as to why? Just
it's what I remember the most.
Yeah, and in the 90s, that whole, like, dark and brooding, like, edge, having the edge to him, that was just kind of the thing at the time. Like,
right.
I understand the bright and loud Sting from the 80s, that was cool then. But mm-hmm. dark and brooding Sting from the 90s. That was cool in the
90s. Yeah. You're going to find this kind of hard to believe, but maybe. But Crow Sting for me as well.
Okay.
Just following it, you know, like.
Black metal Sting.
From how he went, you know, like the early stages and then the new makeup and then up in the rafters and all that. Like, it was long-term storytelling and it worked so well. And it just, it sucked people right in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was one of the big things, you know, about the Monday Night War was Crow Sting.
Yeah, you couldn't do that nowadays.
Nope.
People would not have the patience for a storyline that long.
Probably not. Probably not. And
even though they did fumble the end of it with the whole quick count not being a quick count thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at Starrcade 97.
Yeah, see.
Like, all that build, the build up was so was good, great. And then Hogan had to fucking go in there and
be
like,
Hogan.
So Nick Patrick's going to do a quick count, and he's like, well, that doesn't work for me, brother. So the whole thing ended up looking like Bret Hart coming down and everyone just ganging up on this guy who just won fair and square.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
And that was the beginning of the end of Bret Hart in WCW. Like, he should have, like, he was the hottest wrestler in the world.
He just came into WCW at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And they figured, okay, let's give him a big push because he should be bigger than Sting.
And
he
then Goldberg kicked him Hogan. In the face.
Yeah, but then, like... Well, the whole reason why he was the special guest referee was because his non-compete clause with WWF was still in effect, so he couldn't actually, like, wrestle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a great way of introducing
him. He can still appear on television.
Right.
So.
Right. And it was perfect, and there was no reason. It's so frustrating, and as a wrestling fan, it's just... Bret Hart in WCW was just a popcorn fart. It really was.
It was not as good as it
should
have been.
It should have been.
Could have been.
Yeah.
And, like, I put it all down to bad booking, obviously.
Definitely.
It was cool seeing Bret Hart with Big Gold around his mm-hmm. shoulder and around his mm-hmm. waist. But his matches, other than the match with Chris Benoit, I can't really think of any, like,
that's great. The only one I really remember.
I can't think of any great matches, like, on the same level as his matches with, like, Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels, like,
mm-hmm.
or anybody.
They're just,
yeah.
I guess he didn't. He didn't really have, like, great matches with Sting, even though, like, the concept around it being the Sharpshooter versus the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah, that should have been a Starrcade, and that should have been huge.
Yeah,
you know,
but it ended up just being an NWO angle. Well, yeah, like, Bret Hart wasn't even in NWO Black and White proper. He was just an affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he never wore the colors. He still wore his pink and black. But then when he was world champion in the dying days of the company, he became, I guess, the leader of NWO Silver or NWO 2000.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? It was Bret Hart, the Outsiders, and Jeff Jarrett. And they were all champions. And it was just like, it was such a wet fart.
Yeah.
I was just like, so this is it, huh, folks?
Uh-huh.
The NWO 2000? Cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glad Sting wasn't involved in any of that horse shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yup.
Okay, so this is probably going to, this, for us, if Sting is retiring, well, it's definitely time. Like,
yeah. I'm glad he got to end his career on his terms.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Rather than the WWF doctors just telling him, no, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's like, look who's come back from neck injuries now. Sting, Edge, Christian, Danielson, Paige.
Yeah. So I'm glad all these people are getting a chance to end their careers on their terms, mm-hmm. not having a doctor tell them, nope, sorry.
Yeah. I would at least... once a year on an AEW pay-per-view, have Sting come out to be a corner person for someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I'm sure he'll be in Darby's.
He kind of has been that for Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like...
like, will his retirement be the last time we see him? No, because he'll probably be in Darby's corner sometimes. But...
he's had a hell of a career throughout
sure.
NWA, WCW, and TNA.
And
he's...
for the people who don't know, he has fought Undertaker.
Yeah, way back in the
yeah,
no, that was Sting versus Mean Mark Callis. Yeah, that was not the Undertaker.
Yeah,
and he beat him with a Scorpion Deathlock.
Okay, yeah, that was Surfer Sting versus Mean Mark Callis. I wanted the Crow versus the Dead Man.
Yes,
like, I wish we would have got that.
The or sorry, the Icon versus the Dead Man.
Right.
Yeah,
that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Where would you put Sting in a list of the 100 greatest? Just ballpark. The 100 greatest wrestlers of all time.
Of all time?
Where would you put Sting?
Jeez.
Top 20, top 30, top 50?
It's, 20
it's,
for
it's
sure.
Gotta
I'd say top 20 or 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
just the he's got such a memorable look, and he's like he's had a storied career. He's like he wasn't the most technical wrestler in the entire world, mm-hmm. but he did what he did well. He's had his he's had more classic moments than he has had matches, I will say.
Right.
But yeah, in terms of like presentation and his acting skills, I guess.
Right.
I'd put him up there. Like yeah. in top 20.
Top 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm easy. If not at least between 20 and 30, but yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely right up there.
Yeah.
He's not dead, but thanks for the memory, Sting. We appreciate it. How can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
Right on, right on. And of course, Wrestling Night in Canada is proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. If you're checking us out just on some other podcast aggregator, be sure to go to the network. It's a predominantly pro wrestling, but there's all sorts of pop culture, and it's just a really fun binge of a lot of really wicked shows. If you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy and you want to be irritated some more, on the Shining Wizards Network, there is a really cool hard music type program called Radioactive Metal, where mm-hmm. myself and my co-host Aaron, we sit down and we discuss everything heavy metal. In the meantime, in between time,
you know, if you go back through the archives, you'll find me and Ducky over here on a couple episodes of Radioactive Metal.
Yeah,
too,
you so. Will. Yeah,
help. We got our own little universe over there, and I don't know. I'm still thinking about movie night in Canada if we can find the time.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind doing that.
I wouldn't either.
Like we all love movies.
Yeah.
First episode. I don't know. Return of the Living Dead. If it happens,
okay,
yeah,
I'd be okay.
Since you talk about, since you watch it every year,
I do.
Yeah,
I
do. Do the watch along for Radioactive Metal. Wouldn't mind sitting down and just discussing it in depth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
A lot of other movies that we all love.
You want to do a movie/geek type podcast?
Yeah, I'd be down for it. Like, do they have many of those on the network?
Well, there's pop culture. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but. I'm talking like all of us sitting down and discussing our favorite movies. Not even necessarily.
we call it Barely an Inconvenience.
No, I think that's trademark.
Yeah. But it'd be funny.
Yeah. But if we could, if we could sit down and discuss our favorite movies, not necessarily just horror movies, but just movies that we grew up on, loved, we'll actually have to like sit down and watch them and take notes.
We can be like the day before the episode. Okay. We got to watch this movie.
Yep.
Watch it like two or three times and just fucking
take notes. Okay. Take notes as we're watching. And because we have a lot of friends that love movies. If we can get, I'm not saying this will be a weekly thing, but
maybe like a once a month thing.
Yeah. If we could like get a friend on that loves a certain movie every now and again too. That'd be dope.
All right.
I'd be down for it. I love talking about movies, so I may as well just, as much as I love talking about wrestling.
As I'm
so.
Sitting here in a Suspirious
that's, yeah. totally, that's totally the whole idea behind podcasts.
Yep. This is
something we would have been doing anyways, so we might as well share
so
it.
We
with
go, so you'll have the music one, you'll have the wrestling one, and now we'll have the movies
there
one.
We go.
So.
Yeah. There we go. Okay,
the triple crown.
Welcome to movie
topics.
Night. Fuck wrestling night. Yeah. Fuck Radioactive. Fuck.
Yeah. So. I got an intro in mind and everything. Like, okay. Sort of.
You're already thinking about it.
It'll be a different format from this, to much like how this is a different format from Radioactive Metal. So, yeah,
we gotta do the podcast as if we do it, just like with a bag of popcorn in our hands too. Just movie night.
Crunching away.
Yeah,
maybe. We'll see.
Sounds good.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. We'll talk about it.
So in the meantime, in between time, that's it. This has been another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.